So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to yet another thrilling episode of
It's Tommy Freedom,
otherwise known on here as Freedom Rings. So welcome back, folks. It's been another week already. It's amazing how fast the time flies. Now, I know you're going to expect me to go over the results of the elections, but this show is pre-recorded on Sunday morning. It is 5:30 on Sunday morning. Got up a little bit late today. But by the time you hear this, the election will be over and we will know the results. However, I have no way of knowing what they are at this point, so I will cover those next week. So what I'm going to be talking about today, I'm going to start out, first of all, with white history for the month of November. Thank you once again to Mike in New York, for sending that to me. He also sent me an article that I'm going to cover after the break, dealing with a proposed gun law in New York State that is just completely out there. Want to share that with you as well. And I'm trying to figure out what George is doing, because he's been working on something. I don't know. How long have you been working on it? You were working on it like all afternoon yesterday. What is that? Let me see it. Okay. So, George, it's a parody. Okay. It's called The Sound of Sirens. Am I getting that correct? Okay, like The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. Okay. Actually, it's not bad, George, considering it's coming from you. I share it? Okay. This is the ending? Okay. I hear their jackboots on the floor, a dozen agents, maybe more. Every single one of them screaming, is this real or am I just dreaming? And the lasers on their rifles are dancing all across the wall. But above all, I hear the sound of sirens. Keep working on it, George. All right, let's get rid of that. Get into white history. So on November the 8th in 1861, the Confederate emissaries to England and France were illegally removed by the U.S. Navy from the British vessel, the RMS Trent, initiating the Trent Affair and endangering the United States' relationship with Great Britain. Can you imagine, folks, if Britain, because of that, had sided with the Confederacy as a result of this incident? I would now be speaking to you from the Confederate States of America. On November 12th in 1980, the NASA space probe Voyager 1 made its closest approach to Saturn and took the first images of its rings. I actually have copies of those pictures, folks, believe it or not. My brother was a combat photographer in the Navy, and he was doing something with NASA at that point, and he was there when those images came in, and I have original photographs that came in from NASA. It's got all the information printed on the back and everything. They're really cool. Never thought I'd have a need for them, but it's kind of cool to have something like that. On November 12th in 1842, English physicist John William Strutt was born in Langford Grove. He discovered the element argon, for which he earned the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1904. He also discovered the phenomenon now called Rayleigh scattering, explaining why the sky is blue. I'll have to look into that because I always thought the sky was blue because nitrogen and oxygen are both blue when you liquefy them. You put them in a jar and it's actually sky blue. I guess maybe it's something else. I'll have to look into that. November 12th, 1861, the blockade runner Fingal was built in Scotland. It was purchased by Confederates in England and arrived in Savannah, Georgia, and renamed the CSS Fingal. It was then transferred to the Union Navy in 1863 and renamed the USS Atlanta. A lot of name changes on that one. November 12th, wow, a lot of November 12ths this week. Wow, a lot of stuff happened on November 12th. 1936, the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge first opened for traffic after 3 years of construction. In attendance were the former U.S. President Herbert Hoover, Senator William G. McAdoo, and the governor of California at the time, Frank Merriam. On November 13th in 1850, Scottish novelist, poet, and travel writer Robert Louis Stevenson was born in Edinburgh. His works include Treasure Island in 1883, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in 1886, and Kidnapped, also in 1886. Now, I said Edinburgh. You will never find Edinburgh on the map if you look for it like that. It's what we actually call Edinburgh. B-U-R-G-H in Scottish is pronounced Borough. November 14th, 1765, American engineer Robert Fulton was born in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. He is credited with developing the first commercially successful steamboat. In 1800, he was commissioned by Napoleon Bonaparte to design the Nautilus, the first practical submarine in history. Interesting how the first submarines are always named Nautilus. Captain Nemo's submarine was called the Nautilus. The first practical submarine was named the Nautilus. And the first nuclear submarine were also named the Nautilus. November 14th of 1771, French scientist Marie-François Xavier Bichat was born in Thoyrot, France. That Thoyrot? Looks like Thoyrot, but I know it's Thoyrot, something like that. Anyway, he is the father of modern histology. The hell is histology? And pathology, and was able to advance the understanding of the human body. He was the first to introduce the notion of tissues as distinct entities. Okay, a lot of November 14ths here in history. 1910, American aviation pioneer Eugene Ely performed the first takeoff from a ship in Hampton Roads, Virginia. He took off from a makeshift deck on the light cruiser USS Birmingham in a Curtis Pusher and promptly landed on a nearby beach. November 14th, 1969, NASA launched Apollo 12, which was the second manned mission to the surface of the moon. November 15th in 1966, Gemini 12 spaceflight came to a successful end when the space capsule splashed down on the Atlantic Ocean. The four-day flight demonstrated the possibility that an astronaut could work outside the spacecraft. November 16th, 1532, the Battle of Cajamarca, Spanish conquistador, so it would be Cajamarca. Spanish conquistador Francisco Pizarro defeated the forces of Incan Emperor Atahualpa at Cajamarca, Peru. The Incans lost 7,000 men, while Pizarro's forces had only one man wounded in the battle. Well, you see, that's what happens when you take a knife to a gunfight, folks. November 16, 1852, English astronomer John Russell Hind discovered the asteroid 22, Calliope. Is that Calliope or Calliope? It's spelled with a K. Not really sure on that one. November 16th, 1292, John de Balliol became King of Scotland. November 17th, 1558, Elizabeth I became Queen of England and Queen of Ireland at the same time. November 18th, 1860, Georgia legislature appropriates $1 million to arm the state, then became part of the Confederacy in January of 1861. November 19th, 1493, Christopher Columbus discovered Puerto Rico during his second voyage to the New World. November 19th, 1700, French priest Jean-Antoine Nollet was born in Pimpré, France. A lot of French stuff in here. In 1748, he discovered the phenomenon of osmosis in natural membranes. He also conducted important experiments in electricity and was the first professor of experimental physics at the University of Paris. On November 20th in 1602, German scientist Otto von Guericke was born in Magdeburg, Germany. He was a pioneer in studying the physics of vacuums. And in 1650, he invented a vacuum pump consisting of a piston and an air gun cylinder. He also conducted popular experiments demonstrating the force of air pressure. I did not realize a vacuum had been around for that long. November 20th, 1620, Peregrine White was born in Provincetown Harbor in modern-day Massachusetts. He was the first English child born to pilgrims in the New World, before the passengers of the Mayflower had decided where they would settle. November 20th, 1805, Fidelio, the only opera by Ludwig von Beethoven, had its premiere performance at Vienna's Theater. And this is they left part of the name out here. Anyway, it was, it was Vienna's Theater and der Wien. Okay. November 22nd, 2018. That can't be right. Oh, I see. This is, Thanksgiving has not only been celebrated in November. I will get to that one later on. Why it was dated for this year, I don't know. Let me just continue past that, and I will discuss that after the break. November 23rd in 1248, King Fernando III of Castile recaptured Seville from the Moors, which was part of the Reconquista of Spain. November 23rd in 1553, Italian scientist Prospero Alpini was born in Marostica, Italy. In the 1580s, while studying palms in Egypt, he made the first observation of sexual differences in plants. The genus Alpinia, belonging to the order, I am not even going to begin to pronounce that. It's the ginger family, anyway, is named for him. The order? Zingiberaceae? That's not one that I'm familiar with. Taxodiaceae is the one I'm familiar with. November 23rd in 1616, English mathematician John Wallis was born in Ashford, England. He is credited as one of the inventors of infinitesimal calculus. In addition to other significant contributions to mathematics, he introduced the infinity symbol, which we sometimes know as the lazy eight, and has an asteroid named after him. November 24th in 1859, Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species was first published. The book is considered to be the foundation of evolutionary biology. November 26, 1876, American engineer Willis Carrier was born in Angola, New York, the inventor of modern air conditioning. November 28, 1864, Rosser's raid on New Creek near Keezy, West Virginia, by Confederate Major General Thomas I. Rosser, occurred. Now, Rosser was a favorite of Major General Jeb Stuart, and because of his daring cavalry raids, efficiency in handling combat troops, and tactical brilliance. On November 30th in 1889, British scientist Edgar Adrian was born in London. He is one of the founders of modern neurophysiology. He shared the Nobel Prize for Physiology in 1932 for discoveries regarding the functions of neurons. And finally, on November 30th, 1934, the Flying Scotsman locomotive became the first locomotive to reach a speed of 100 miles per hour. That's pretty fascinating. It really is. I mean, you got to remember, folks, back then, 100 miles an hour was really considered unachievable. Just trying to fathom going 100 miles per hour back in the 1800s like that. That was phenomenal. That would be like us really breaking the 10,000 mile per hour mark in some sort of a plane or something. It's incredible. Hello? sorry, folks. I left the door to the studio open and Misty's in here. Well, it's coming up on time for a break anyway. Let me take a quick break and let her out. I'll be back in a couple minutes, folks. Don't go anywhere.
30 years from now, my kids will be out. outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Mortimer J. Steinberg for Snake Farm Insurance. Recently, I received a claim for fire damage due to arson. I immediately boarded our corporate jet, paid for with your premiums, and flew to Epley Airfield in Omaha, Nebraska, where I then took a taxi to a little town called Bellevue. In case you're wondering, yes, your premiums also paid the $76.77 fare for the taxi company, but don't be alarmed. Your share only covers 1/15,000th of the cost. With everyone's monthly contributions, this cost will be overridden in 3.5 seconds. In fact, there, it's done. In fact, we are now making profits over and above those expenses, thanks to you. Now, I met our policyholder, a man by the name of Mr. Wilson, at what was left of his house. I dragged a lawn chair onto the smoldering ruins of what had once been his front porch and listened to his rationalization of why we should cover his claim. Well, it seems that Dennis, the menacing skinhead boy from next door, had approached Mr. Wilson demanding some shaving cream money. And when Mr. Wilson refused, Dennis set fire to his house. So I offered Mr. Wilson a copy of his policy, since his had been destroyed in the fire, and I explained that Snake Farm does not cover acts of domestic terrorism. In fact, I actually lent Mr. Wilson my magnifying glass so that he could read the fine print for himself. You see, that is the extra mile that Snake Farm will take for you. I can honestly say that no other insurance company would have made the effort that I made for Mr. Wilson. That magnifying glass cost me 3 boxes of Cracker Jacks. And on a side note, I did give Mr. Wilson the stickers and the bucking bronc that came with the 2 other boxes. Now, can you name another company that will go that extra mile? I think not. So once again, that is the service that you will get with Snake Farm Insurance. Don't forget to mention me, Mortimer J. Steinberg, when you call to sign up. Our number is 1-800-ABC-DEFU. And remember our jingle. And like a bad neighbor, Snake Farm is gone. Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, I am back. Once again, folks, I do apologize for Misty interrupting the show. I completely forgot to shut the door. I forgot that she was in here. My dad's out of town, so I didn't feel a need to keep the door to the recording studio shut, and Misty found her way in and interrupted the show. And of course, driving George absolutely bonkers. He can't stand her for some reason. I don't know why. But during the break, something occurred to me that was not included in the November history. Remember the 5th of November, Guy Fawkes Day. Now, for those of you in the States here, you may not be familiar with Guy Fawkes and why it is celebrated in the United Kingdom. Now, when I was a kid, they were still teaching accurate history in school, and we learned about Guy Fawkes and Guy Fawkes Day. If you've ever heard of the infamous gunpowder plot to blow up Parliament on November 5th, 1605, it was led by Guy Fawkes, and he was arrested while he was guarding the gunpowder that had been placed under Parliament, and unfortunately it was discovered. Now, what the gunpowder plot was, it was an effort by the Protestants to overthrow the Catholics and get them out of the rule, because they had become absolutely ruthless in their control of Europe. It failed, but if you've ever seen the movie V for Vendetta, that is why everyone is wearing a Guy Fawkes mask, and at the end, it is so symbolic when they are successful in blowing up Parliament. If you don't know your history, that is what that symbolized. Knowing this now, research Guy Fawkes and Guy Fawkes Day, or Guy Fawkes Night, as it's celebrated usually in the UK, then go back and watch V for Vendetta. And I guarantee you, that movie will actually make sense to you now. Now, let's go over the actual history of Thanksgiving itself. Thanksgiving has not always been celebrated in November or the way it was claimed, where pilgrims and Indians all sat down, ate together, and were friends. On June 20th in 1676, the Governing Council of Charlestown, Massachusetts, held a meeting to determine how best to express thanks for the good fortune that they had seen their community securely established. By unanimous vote, they instructed Edward Rawson, who was the town clerk, to proclaim June 29, 1676, which was 56 years after the landing at Plymouth Rock. So it had nothing to do with the pilgrims at all, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to God. It is notable that the Thanksgiving celebration probably did not include the Indians, as the celebration was meant partly to be in recognition of the colonists' recent victory over those heathen natives. King Philip's War is what they're referring to there. Now, the date was changed a couple of times, and most recently by Franklin Roosevelt, who set it up 1 week to the next to last Thursday in order to create a longer Christmas shopping season. Well, isn't that a Jew for you? Public uproar against this decision caused the president to move Thanksgiving back to its original date 2 years later, and in 1941, Thanksgiving was finally sanctioned by Congress as a legal holiday, being the fourth Thursday in November. Interesting stuff. Now, let me get to this article that was sent to me from Mike in New York, and thank you again, Mike, for sending this to me. And folks, this is why I tell you every week, if you have something you want me to cover, feel free to drop me an email and let me know about this stuff. He sent me an article that's titled, "Brooklyn Pauls," I'm assuming that's short for politicians, "after Pittsburgh, requires social media searches of people seeking gun licenses." It's not bad enough that your potential employers want access to your social media, but now they're going to try and require this to get a gun license? Well, here's what it says. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, who happens to be black, along with State Senator Kevin Parker, who is a Democrat from Flatbush, said the measure would enable cops to catch possible threats to public safety before they can get gun permits. In the wake of the massacre of 11 Jewish worshippers in Pittsburgh, two Brooklyn politicians called for a state law requiring law enforcement to examine the social media posts for all gun license applicants over the preceding three-year period and 1 year of internet searches before approval. I am sorry, that is a gross violation of the Fourth Amendment, folks. Man, it boggles the mind. But anyway, these two dorks say the measure would enable cops to catch possible threats to public safety before they get the gun permits. Pittsburgh gunman Robert Bowers had no criminal record and was a licensed gun owner, but he made a series of anti-Semitic posts before he waded into the Tree of Life synagogue and opened fire on October 27th during a bris. Among the posts on the since-removed Gab website, he called immigrants invaders. Well, they are, particularly the illegal ones, and railed against a Jewish organization that funds immigration efforts. Railed. See, that's one of those words that you only see in print. Nobody says the word railed or touted. You know, it's... I don't understand these people. 5 minutes before the shooting started, he posted, I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw your optics. I'm going in. The shooter in Pennsylvania, these fights are so minute, I can't even see them. The shooter in Pennsylvania had no criminal flags. You would have thought that this person was a model citizen until you examined his social media profile, Adams said. He was a broken citizen. He was a time bomb waiting to explode, and that's why it's important to do this type of review. No, that's not what you need to do. Going after people's personal information, what goes on inside their mind, that is punishing a thought crime, folks. And that's just even more reason why you need to get software that erases your history completely. Now, I had one that I bought years and years ago, which it no longer works on any of these Chrome and all. Anyway. It'll come to me after I'm done explaining this. But anyway, it was called Window Washer. And not only did it delete your files, you could add bleach to the wash, which would overwrite it up to 10 times. I believe the NSA considers shredding at 3 overwrites, and I had mine set to 10. And you could do the same thing for your browsing history. The FBI could get a hold of your computer and could not find out what your history had been or what those files were that were deleted. If you don't have that kind of software, folks, it's time to start investing in it. But again, the biggest problem is states like New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and California, where they try and come up with this crap to invade your privacy and keep you from owning a gun in any way they can. Why do you even need a license to own a gun? It says nothing in the Constitution about needing a license. It says it shall not be infringed. Here in North Carolina, we don't need a license to own a gun. Now, you do need to get a special permit to carry concealed. And I guess that sort of lies where they do a background check. But not to own a long gun. You just walk in, you fill out the yellow form, you're over and you're done with. And as far as buying a pistol, you need a permit to purchase, not to carry. So the background check is done to allow you to purchase that handgun, and then you can carry it openly. No restrictions. If you want to carry it concealed, then you have to take the class and pay the money for the concealed carry permit. And something tells me, folks, that by the end of Trump's presidency, sometime in the next 2 years, you're going to see nationwide concealed carry as a right. We'll see, but that is what I'm predicting. And speaking of predictions, I am still predicting there will be no blue wave. There will be at least a red wave, if not a red tide or even a crimson tsunami. We shall see. If I am wrong, I will say that I was wrong, but that is what I foresee happening. The Democrats and the liberals are twisting and skewing these polls, and they're lying to us, and I think that will become evident. We'll find out. Anyway, we'll discuss that next week, go over everything in detail, where we won, where we lost, and how it played out, and why. So in the meantime, my friends, it's been good talking to you. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.